us, and I know that we talked about this in Mother's Day, and we celebrated Mother's Day, and we celebrated Father's Day. But before I begin today on Father's Day, will you stand with me across the building once again if you're able, and let us read Galatians 2 and 20 as we read every Sunday morning. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Amen. You may be seated across the building today. If you have your Bibles today, I want you, they'll be there in the pew, it'll be projected on the screen. If you have your Bibles that you brought with you, I'd like for you to turn with me to Matthew's Gospel, the 6th chapter, beginning with the 9th verse. Matthew 6 of the New Testament, verse 9, that we want to look here a little bit today. And I'm going to give you a second there to get to that, so I want you to see that as well. Matthew 6 and 9. In this manner, therefore, pray, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us of our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Can I hear an amen to God's word? How fitting today, as we look at this passage, how fitting it is today to have a special day to honor our fathers. The Bible clearly lets us know in Exodus 20 and 12, honor your father and your mother, that your days, look at this now, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God is giving you. Honor thy father and thy mother. Some today would say, well, you didn't have a father like I had. Maybe you were blessed and I was blessed to have a godly father, a godly mother. But you may say today, well, how can you say that? I didn't have that. Well, I want to share with you today that it does not change the word of God, because if it was your father and it was your father that you knew of, it is for you and me to be respectful, even if they've been evil to you, even if they've done you wrong. Jesus says, I'll take care of vengeance. I'll take care of those that do evil. But if we will do as God has asked us to do, the Bible says your days will be prolonged. In other words, you could have good health. In other words, the days of your life can be lengthened just by honoring your father and mother. It doesn't mean that if you have something against your father that you're to hang around with him and this and that and the other, if he's doing things he shouldn't be doing. No, it's just saying that you're honoring him because he is your father. And with that, then God begins to honor you as you honor your father. David Schroeder writes this: there are seven character qualities that I call the dadudes. In other words, it's the dad beatitudes. And this is what he says. I thought this was really neat. These dad attitudes will be your blessing to your children, and they will also make you blessed. Look at what he says here. Blessed are the flexible dads, for they shall enjoy open communication with their children. He writes and says, blessed are the reliable dads, for they shall retain their children's respect. Blessed are the trustworthy dads, for their children will have no lack of material, emotional, or spiritual support. Blessed are the dads who love unconditionally, for their children will continue to trust them. Blessed are the gentle dads, for they are obeying the scriptures. And blessed are the humble dads, for they will raise their children to be spiritually, socially, and morally mature. Blessed are the selfless dads, for they just make good dads. And I thought about this. I thought about, you know, when fathers begin to dedicate their heart and their life to the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, when they continue to say, Heavenly Father, I can't be the father that I need to be unless I hear from you. And today, fathers, we cannot be the father that we need to be with our children unless we hear from the Heavenly Father. The title of my message today is this: The Father Who Hears. The Father Who Hears. And I want you to know today that there is no surprise, if you, as you've heard me say this, there's no surprise to the Heavenly Father. For He sees and knows before you begin to think. For your thoughts are not His thoughts, your ways are not His ways. How unsearchable are His ways? They are far past finding. You cannot even begin to scratch the surface of what God is thinking, what God is knowing. And so He knows us inside out because He's created us to worship Him. He's created us to be what He would want us to be. And so for us to be the father that you and I need to be, we must stay in communication with the Heavenly Father. We need to talk to the Heavenly Father. Family structure is ordained by God. Did you know God created the family before He created the church? Hello, let me say this one more time. God created the family before He created the church. He wanted the family to come together. He wanted the family to multiply. He wanted the family so that He could show His love and His care. And how did He do it? He did it through His Son, Jesus Christ, that we would have the family and be connected to the family of God. For we are sons and daughters of the Most High God, and how that He loves us, and He created that all for us. Jesus prayed, as we see this passage, Jesus prayed to His Heavenly Father. Our earthly father-child relationship is planned by the Creator. I need to say this. And I want you to hear this. Our earthly father-child relationship is planned by the Creator. He created the father. He created mother. He created this so that you and I can continue on from generation to generation. Our earthly father-child relationship is planned. In other words, it becomes a great lesson for fathers and for families. Billy Graham said this: a good father is one of the most unsung, unpraised, unnoticed, yet one of the most valuable assets in our society. God intended for fathers to do more than just bring home the bacon. For a biblical standpoint, the father is to be a provider, a protector, a priest, a guide, a teacher, a disciplinarian, and potentially the father is the best possible teacher about God that a child can have, for the father is the human counterpart of God. And when Jesus taught his disciples to pray, he said, after this manner, therefore pray ye our Father which art in heaven. He taught forgiving Father, the child who never has the privilege of knowing a loving Father has a serious handicap when it comes to understanding the nature and the character of God. And there is a great challenge among us today because there's not a lot of fathers that's hearing from the Heavenly Father. There's not a lot of fathers even around. In other words, the mother winds up wearing the pants and becoming the father and the mother. And this is not what God designed. This is not what God has created for this to happen. He created that they would be a mother and that they would be a father and that they would come together and that they would have a family. But we live in a broken society where that everybody's doing whatever they want to do, when they want to do it, how they want to do it, where they want to do it, and yet they're not having God in the center of their heart and life. Therefore, as a father drifts away from God, guess what? The enemy will come in and snatch out the father where there's no love in the family, there's no love in the house, there's no grace, there's no mercy, and evil begins to take over. And folks, that's where we need to understand that God is wanting us to get back to the love of the Lord Jesus Christ, because He bled and died on Calvary's cross that you and I may have life and have it more abundantly. Hallelujah. I want you to know today, as I've read the statistics, that if 80 to 85% of fathers would come to the church and would get back in the church, their families would follow. Their families would follow if 80 to 85% would come back, because 80 to 85% of the fathers today are not coming to church. They're staying away. They think church is for their wife, or their church is for the mother, and the church is for the children, and the fathers are nowhere to be seen. But if the fathers could get back, if the fathers would see how important that it is, that the father was designed, he is head of the house. He is not the boss, but he is head of his household. He prays over them. He loves them. He instructs them. He teaches them. And as the children looks to the father, the family comes together with the bond of love to do the work that Jesus Christ has called the family to do, and that is to love one another and love those that they are around. Give God praise in the house today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want you to know today, what does the Lord's Prayer say to us on Father's Day? What does the Lord's Prayer say to us on Father's Day? My first point today is this: it speaks of the Father. It speaks of the Father. Matthew 6 and 9, in this manner therefore pray, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. In other words, there's no other Father like the Heavenly Father, that we are to acknowledge Him, that He is the one to help us be the Father that we are. He's the one that we're in this world today. He's the one that we have a family today. He's the one that completely orchestrates everything in our life. The earthly fathers need to learn from the Heavenly Father. Why? Because He loves you. He loves me. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believeth upon Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. In other words, He cares. He cares so much that by nature He feeds the birds. In Matthew 6 and 26, look at the birds of the air, for there's neither sow nor they reap nor they gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father Here we go again. Your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? If He can feed the birds of the air, if He can take care of nature as we see the beautiful scenery of nature, we see spring, summer, winter, and fall, we see the seasons change, all of that is God. God is orchestrated. If God can do all of that, do you not think for a moment that God can't help the fathers? That He cannot supply for the fathers? That He cannot touch the fathers? He longs to take away our fears. Because I feel like today sometimes fathers have that fear because they don't know what to do. They don't know how to answer the things that they're dealing with in life. Maybe they have teenagers that's going buck wild. Maybe they're going crazy. Maybe they're just totally going the total opposite. And sometimes the fear will grip the fathers. But I want to share with you today, it's time for our fathers to not just take on the responsibility within themselves and their own power and their own intellect and their own knowledge, but it's for us to call on the Heavenly Father and say, Heavenly Father, I've got a situation here. I've got a family that my children are not this or that, or I got a situation or I've got a concern. Heavenly Father, help me, guide me, direct me, lead me, show me to be the father that I need to be. You see, Matthew 6:34 says, therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow. Jesus says, don't worry. In other words, don't let fear grip your heart that you can't be the dad that you need to be, that you can't be the father that you need to be. You can be the father. You can be the dad. You can be the leader. You can be of the household. And you can direct your family. Listen, I've realized that you can't take fame and fortune. You can't take all the stuff that you may collect and you may have and you may get. But one thing you can take is you can take your family to heaven. You can take your family to heaven. And that's one thing that you can do. We become His children. Jesus Christ, we become His children by faith. John 1:12 says, but as many as received Him, to them He gave the right to become the children of God, to those who believe in His name. We are sons and daughters of the Most High God. We need to appreciate our Father's care because the Heavenly Father loves us unconditionally. It doesn't matter whether you're right, you're wrong, you're weak, you're strong. It doesn't matter. You have no favoritism with the Heavenly Father. The Father loves you unconditionally because He sent His Son unconditionally that you and I may have life and have it more abundantly. Listen, we need to appreciate what the Heavenly Father has done. Second, it speaks of the future. Matthew 6:10, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. In other words, God has already stamped it in heaven. God has already approved it. God has already spoken. God has already said. And just as He has said and as He has done in heaven, so be it on earth. Thy kingdom come. Our tomorrows are all safe with Him. The question would be, are you tired of the crime? Are you tired of violence? Are you tired of sorrow? Our Father has a plan, a better time for the future. And yet we may see the things around us that we're struggling with. We may see what's happening. But understand that it's only for a time. It's only for a season. It's only for a moment. Because we can be rest assured and know without a shadow of a doubt that no matter what we go through, fathers, No matter what you deal with in life, you are not alone. You're not on an island by yourself. You're not alienated from everything else. Listen, the devil, Satan himself, would like to alienate you and make you feel like that you're not worthy and you're not this and you're not that and everything else. When we call upon the Heavenly Father, He hears our call and He begins to move when He earnestly sees our heart, for He sees the intent of our heart. He knows your motive. He knows whether it's right. He knows whether it's wrong. He knows clearly us inside and out. Our Father has plans for better times. Third, it speaks of food. Fathers, Matthew 6 and 11, give us this day our daily bread. Give us this day our daily bread. Fathers are generally the bread winners. Now, I know sometimes mothers will wear the pants. Sad but true. But yet God designed for the father to be the bread winner of the home. 1 Timothy 5 and 8 says this, but if anyone does not provide for his own, and especially for those of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. Folks, God has orchestrated it for the man of the house to provide for his family. And it is for us to understand that who provides for the family, not just the Father, but the Heavenly Father gives him what he needs to be the father to his family, to provide for his family and to help his family along the way. Now, I know it takes two incomes sometimes. I'm not suggesting or saying that the wife stays home and the father does all this and all, I'm not going into all of that. I'm not talking about none of that. I'm talking about it. Yes, I know in the time that we live, it takes two. It does. It takes two. But I will say that God has planned it for the Father to provide for His family, to provide for His wife, to provide for His children. I go a step further. If a mother is to bear 9 months of a child in her stomach and go through all of the birthing pains and everything that goes on, the least that the father can do is step up to the plate and say, honey, I'll do whatever I need to do to help with the family, to help with the kid, to help with the baby, with this and that and the other, because of all of what she went through. And of course, the wife would probably look to the husband and shake her fist and say, that's right, you better do that, because I birthed these kids that are in my stomach and I had to deal with it when you didn't have to deal with it. But see, that's the love of a father, because he wants to provide. A true father would want to provide for his wife, provide for his children. Our Heavenly Father forgives. Strength and skill to work, provision of jobs and income. The Heavenly Father allows that to happen. Fourth, it speaks of forgiveness. Matthew 6 and 12. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Forgive us of our debts. Our Heavenly Father forgives. Fathers will make mistakes. I'm going to tell you today as pastor, I'm not the perfect father. I was not the perfect husband. Getting married, learning to be a father, I had to learn. I'd never really messed with diapers. I've never really messed with bottles. But I had to learn real quick. I was not that perfect dad. I think the first child we had, I believe My wife, if I say this correctly, I think she pretty much watched our daughter Rossi a good bit. And then I learned. And then on my second child, which was Nicholas, I learned on him to be the father that I need to be and the husband that I needed to be. And so we learn. We learn. But the Heavenly Father and the mistakes that we make, the Heavenly Father forgives us. Heavenly Father helps us. Listen, 1 John 1 and 9 says this, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Father, sometimes we have to admit that we're wrong. I've had to tell my children, I'm wrong. I've told my son, I'm wrong. Nick, I'm sorry. I've told my daughter, hey, I'm sorry. Rossi, I was wrong. You see? And that's what a father does. A father forgives. A father forgives, and a father asks for forgiveness. Because, listen, here's the thing. If we go through life, fathers, and we don't admit that we know, and you know whether you're right or wrong, and because God gives you that conscience. He knows whether you're right or wrong. And if you are wrong and you're acting like you're right and you never ask for forgiveness, listen, your child will live with that to know that you were a father that you didn't come to them. You know, and you don't want it to be where they go on in life and you've got this on your mind and maybe you have forgotten it, but your children hadn't forgotten it. But it's never too late to say, hey, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. And that really becomes the father of the family. When a father admits, hey, I spoke out of turn. Hey, I was wrong. Forgive me. And guess what? Your children that love you will have the heart and say, Dad, I forgive you. Because that's what families are all about. Fathers need to be forgiving people. We can forgive because why? We can forgive because we've been forgiven. You can forgive because you've been forgiven. Jesus Christ has forgiven you. He's forgiven me. So we can forgive. We can forgive others. 5, it speaks of freedom. Matthew 6 and 13, and do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And lead us not into temptation. Yielding to temptation brings bondage. Let me say it again. Yielding to temptation brings bondage. Lord, help me as a father. Lead me not in the areas that I should not go. Lord, keep me away. Keep me at bay. Keep me away from those things so that I not reflect wrong to my family. That I not catch myself in something that I shouldn't do because my family is looking to me. Your family is looking to you. Your family looks to the Father. Listen, the mother is looking to the Father. The children are looking to the Father. They're looking to someone that is over them. And you are having to look to the Heavenly Father so that you can be the father to your wife and to your children. Our Father limits the temptations and the powers. 1 Corinthians 10 and 13, I'm coming into my closing. No temptation has overtaken you except such is as common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it. He'll put no more than you can bear, fathers. He will make a way of an escape. He knows exactly how much to put on you. And 6, it speaks of forever. Matthew 6 and 14. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. Our heavenly Father is eternal. He is connected. He is concerned and connected about where we will spend eternity. The question today would be, do you care about the eternal welfare of your children? Do you care about the welfare of your children? You know, fathers are not just about them. It's not about me. It's about everything about me. I mean, we live in that society. Everything's about me. I. But are you willing to sacrifice for your family? Are you willing to sacrifice for your children? Are you willing to sacrifice for your wife? Have you become a child of the Heavenly Father by faith? Do your children see the Heavenly Father's love in you? Does your children see the Heavenly Father's love in you? America is no stronger than its churches. The churches are no stronger than their families, and the families are no stronger than their fathers. Let me read that again. America is no stronger than its churches. The churches are no stronger than their families, and the families are no stronger than the fathers. Folks, I want you to know today that everything leads back to the fathers. With the Heavenly Father leading the family as God has developed the family of God. Because that's why families exist. It's because of God. God created the family. God created it so that you and I can enjoy and that we can share and share with others to know that God is with us every step of the way. Stand with me across the building today.